Tēnā rarangatira mā, nau mai ki te pai o te Waonui. Tēnā koutou katoa ko te Aotearoa Rolleston tēnei, and welcome to Te Waonui. E haere ake nei. Waikato iwi Ngā Te Hinirangi reaffirms its identity with the passing into law of its treaty settlement. Māori and Pacifica people say they have been shut out of climate change activism, and a Ministry of Justice study has found Māori continue to be victims of crime more often than non-Māori, and it's not improving. But first, messages of aroha and support have been given to the Labour Minister, Kiritapu Allen, this week, after she revealed to the public she had been diagnosed with stage 3 cervical cancer and would be taking leave to get treatment. But advocates say wahine Māori are reluctant to get the smear test due to cultural reasons such as protecting areas of our tinana, which are tapu or sacred. They say access to self-testing swabs, which can detect symptoms early, are needed and will help combat whakamā. Mirina Johnson has the story.
The last time Kitty Allen had a smear test was over 3 years ago. That was in response to the Smear Your Mea campaign, started by Talay Morrison, to encourage wahine Māori to get checked. Ms Morrison's own cancer diagnosis gave her the impetus to launch the campaign. However, she lost her battle with the disease in 2018. Her brother, Eruera Kiepa, who's carrying on his late sister's legacy, is deeply saddened to hear about Kitty Allen.
Sending all my wishes and sending all my strength to Kiritapu and to her whānau with their battle ahead.
He's also an advocate for women having access to self-testing swabs to see if they have the human papillomavirus, or HPV, which can lead to cervical cancer. And Mr Kiepa says there are cultural reasons wahine Māori are reluctant to get the conventional smear test.
Because when you apply a Māori worldview to that, it's the protection of tapu. And that's been a barrier for many of our wahine Māori, the intrusive nature of getting your smear and how that impacts on the tapu of the whare tangata.
Anna Adcock from Victoria University says self-swabbing could help Māori women overcome whakamā, in this context a reluctance to have a smear.
These are people who do not feel like the current cervical screening system is sensitive enough to their needs, or they might have had a bad experience in the past.
She co-led a study on why Māori women are not screened regularly and whether the new self-test would change that. Most cervical cancer occurs in women who don't get screened. Her research revealed 34% of Māori women, compared to 21% of Pākehā women, don't get regular screening, resulting in mortality rates 2.5 times more than non-Māori. This is even more startling for Māori women aged between 25 and 44, who are 3 times more likely to die from cervical cancer than Pākehā women that age. Ms Adcock says the self-swab test could be a game-changer in a system that must do better.
It's devastating when you hear about people who are being harmed by this preventable cancer, like Minister Allen. We need a screening system that works for us, where all people with cervixes who need to screen feel comfortable and confident to do so.
Her colleague, Bev Lawton, is frustrated there's been no movement on a new screening program using the self-swab test.
It baffles me. Does that mean women, particularly wahine Māori, aren't worth it?
In a statement, the Ministry of Health says it is committed to introducing HPV primary screening and self-testing, as international evidence shows it is the most effective. It says the main barrier is adapting the current national screening register to accommodate a new test, and it needs government funding to make the changes. Ngāti Pāho Wera in Wairoa and Ngāti Porou on the East Coast are doing the self-swabbing as part of a research pilot program, with about 600 tests to be processed over the next few years. But Ms Lawton wants the national program off the ground now.
We really do need the national program to get started, because once they push the button, it will take 18 months to 2 years to reach our doorsteps. But if we don't push the button, nothing will happen.
Meanwhile, the cervical smear screening program is currently behind schedule because of COVID-19, with 22,000 women, including 3,000 Māori, still waiting for the test. Ko Mirina Johnson, DNA.
Funding to rapidly train non-clinical workers to help administer the COVID-19 vaccine to Māori communities is being described as a drop in the bucket. Māori health providers have been consistently calling for kaimahi to be shown how to give the jab so they can ensure greater coverage. News that such a scheme will go ahead has been warmly welcomed, but the $11 million of government support isn't impressing everyone. Here is our reporter Mediana Johnson again, reporting from Parliament.
The race to get the Māori health workforce ready to give the jab is on. Associate Minister of Health Pēni Henare says it won't be easy.
We have a significant challenge in bringing some of our whānau in to be able to be trained and able to administer the vaccine. We're working with Māori health providers first to identify who we can train and who are able and willing to do it, and then secondly making sure that the training is done with them.
The Ministry of Health has made moves to address this. Dr. Ashley Bloomfield says non-clinical staff at Māori health providers will be trained to administer the vaccine.
We've looked at this in the vaccine program and have approved an exemption to be able to train our current non-regulated workforces, including kaimahu, who might be working for Māori health providers and other providers.
It's the news Te Rōpū Whakakaupapa Urutā member and GP Rawiri Jansen has been waiting for.
So these are kaimahi, kaiahi, kaimanaki whānau. That workforce is going to be eligible to be trained and to do vaccinations. That's great news. You know, it's something we've been working on for years. We think it's going to make a really great contribution to the vaccine program.
He says there's very few Māori nurses, so using non-regulated health workers will fill the shortage. Sala Hart from the non-clinical public health service, Hāpai Te Hauora, also sees it as a positive step.
I think it's a move in the right direction, and it's a great move to demonstrate the faith and Māori providers in general, because we know that they are the best connected to those communities that we're trying so desperately to reach.
62 providers will receive a share of $11 million to accelerate workforce training and infrastructure upgrades. Ms. Hart says it isn't nearly enough.
It's a drop in the bucket. Essentially, you know, Vote House has got billions of dollars associated to it. $11 million will stretch as far as we can stretch it.
She says there are major infrastructure needs at Māori health providers.
We had people that are still running off paper-based systems. We have technical support services or infrastructure support that isn't on par with some of the technological advances that we have now pivoted our health service in general to. We need to continue to build upon that.
It's not yet known how many community health workers will be trained to administer the vaccine. Ngāpui COVID-19 response leader Tia Ashby says within the iwi collective of Te Tai Tukerau, almost 80% are non-clinical staff. She says training them for vaccination will make a big difference.
It could help to minimise vaccine hesitancy that we've seen in some areas. It will help to address rural health workforce doctor nurse shortages, and it's more cost effective than trying to hire and recruit more nurses.
And Rawiri Jansen hopes once the vaccinators are trained, it will have an enduring benefit, as they can then be utilised for future vaccination programs. I Parimata, ko Mediana Johnson DNA.
The Māori King, King Ituhaetia, along with an entourage from his iwi Waikato Tainui, were at the Auckland High Court this week listening to evidence being presented on an overlapping treaty claims case. Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei lodged the case in February, challenging the Crown's overlapping claims policy and the Marutuahu collective's claim to the land in the Tamaki Makaurau area. The Kingitanga said its presence was not a protest or a show of support for one iwi over the other, but rather a stance to show their relationship to all iwi with connections in Tamaki. A spokesperson for the Māori King, Rāhui Papa, says they received an invitation from the iwi, Ngāi Tai Ki Tāmaki, requesting that they come and hear some of the hononga, linkages between the Kingitanga and whanaunga in Tamaki Makaurau.
So why today is because the actual invitation came to hear some of those hononga, some of those linkages between the Kingitanga and our whanaunga in Tāmaki Makaurau. Notwithstanding Ngāti Whātua and our people within Tāmaki Makaurau in general, so today was a chance to come and to show and to really reaffirm the linkages of the Kingitanga with all of our whānau in Tāmaki.
The Kingitanga said this was notwithstanding Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei, who have already completed their testimonies over the past 10 weeks. its Deputy Chair Narimu Blair was in attendance this week and said his people had committed to this process, which was a last resort to reach some sort of solution.
Yeah, we have a strong relationship with the Kingitanga and his iwi of the various iwi of Tainui Waka from the very beginnings of our ancestors.
Given that Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei have finished their time providing testimony, will you still continue to be here every day that the court is in session?
Oh, absolutely. Our people have committed to this process. We told our people it's a marathon. We said there'll be some things that they won't like hearing, but at the end of the day, this is a last resort.
While providing testimony in court, spokesperson from Te Kawero Amaki, Te Wāre Nā Taua, record his knowledge of whakapapa and rights of ahika in the Tamaki Makaurau region, and said that mana whenua is the right to protect the interests of the land and that it was shared by many iwi. E are are mai ana ngā taringa ki Te Waonui. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap-up of the week's Māori news on RNZ National. I'm Te Aorira Rolleston. After almost becoming extinct, Waikato iwi Ngāti Hinirangi has had its cultural identity reaffirmed after its treaty settlement passed into law. Ngāti Hinirangi, whose rohe includes the Matamata Township, the Kaimai Ranges and through to Tauranga Moana Harbour, will receive more than $8.1 million in financial redress after its settlement legislation passed its third and final reading in Parliament this week. The redress includes a $200,000 cultural fund, $20,000 for a marae rebuild and the return of 14 sites of cultural significance. Our political reporter Mirjana Johnson spoke to one of the iwi descendants.
I can't believe that we're finally here, and I know that it will, as far as our identity for Ngāti Hinirangi, this is the top. It's never going to get any higher. Well, it can only get higher from here. We are Tūturu Ngāti Hinirangi, and everyone's seen it now. Yeah.
Obviously, it's hugely emotional because, as with all iwi, it takes years, decades of hard mahi to get this over the line. So, you know, where did this haerenga start for you or maybe your tupuna?
I know for me, 2004-2005, my uncle, Matua Kore McMillan Kōpiru, started saying to everyone, "This, you know, we are no longer, we are not a hapu of Ngāti Raukaua, we are an iwi of our own identity." And it certainly took me a little while to hop on the waka. However, he kept approaching me to be part of the trust, and the trust was up and running since 2005. I think I came on about 2008-2009 to the trust, and not long after that our uncle passed. So I was left that legacy to carry through, I suppose, for me. And that's certainly what I've tried to do every day, is carry his legacy through. We've felt really honoured that our iwi around us, Tauranga Moana, Raukaua, Ngāti Hauā and Hauraki, have supported us fully through this process. It has been a long, hard process, especially in overlapping claims, as you do. But I feel that, well, I hope that our other iwi all feel that we've come through it with all of our mana remaining intact.
That was our political reporter, Mirjana Johnson, speaking with one of the Ngāti Hinirangi descendants. Māori and Pasifika people say they have been shut out of climate change activism. They warn if their voice and experience are not included, then their communities will suffer the biggest impact of a changing climate. A global strike of school students for action on climate change took place this week. Our reporter Hamish Cardwell has the story.
Keira Sherwood O'Regan from Disability Climate Justice Network Sustained Ability says Māori and Pasifika voices have been excluded from climate action groups. She says that's foolish, given it is those communities who have long understood sustainable living and working with the environment.
While this climate movement has been predominantly Pākehā, our frontline communities have actually been doing the real work of systems change for decades, and that's been happening without the same public recognition or without the media campaigns. And without the recognition that that deep systemic work is actually what's going to address the climate crisis.
Ms. Sherwood O'Regan acknowledges the mahi of the young climate strikers, who today will march all over the country demanding action from the government. But she says these new environmental movements grew from the legacy of exclusion, and they must put Māori and Pacifica at the forefront of their campaigns.
So what I'd really like to see is that our rakatahi Māori, our Pacifica, our disabled and other frontline communities are centred in any campaigns, any media, any protests or actions, and any public policy to do with climate change, because we cannot accept that solutions to climate change continue to sacrifice those who have already been bearing the brunt of this.
Young Wellington councillor and climate portfolio holder Tamitha Paul says climate change is a result of capitalism, imperialism and colonisation. She says in this country it is those who can least afford to adapt to the changing climate who will suffer the most.
For Auckland, it's South Auckland. It is very vulnerable to coastal inundation. If you look at Wellington, it's Kilburnie, it's Lyell Bay, it's all of those areas where the families that live there that are overwhelmingly Māori Pacific migrant families do not have the means to move out of those areas.
And that was Wellington City Councillor Tamitha Paul speaking with our reporter Hamish Cardwell. Poverty and age continue to be the major reason why Māori are the victims of crime more often than non-Māori. A Ministry of Justice study has found there has been no improvement over the last 15 years. It's also confirmed what justice reform advocates have been saying for years, that poor housing and low incomes are to blame. Mirjana Johnson reports from Parliament.
Māori often feel unsafe in their own community from a young age. That's according to criminologist Tracy McIntosh.
When they walk into the dairy, they don't feel, they realise that they're not wanted there, that when they go into a bank, they're not wanted there. When they, and this may be through right through into social services. And just what that's like to feel that all the time. People who told me this said that they've felt this way since they were very young, since they were like 5 years old, where they recognised that there were very few places in their own community that they were welcome.
New findings from the Ministry of Justice back this up. It looked at victims of crime surveys from 2018 and 2019 and found 12% of violence committed against Māori is by someone from their own whānau or community. That compares to the national average of 7%. Living in state housing and being unemployed also makes it more likely they will be attacked by someone they know. And poverty makes it more likely their homes will be burgled. In the most deprived areas, burglars strike 39 Māori homes in every 100. That's 13 more than the average. The Ministry's Tim Hampton says it's clear what the problems are.
They are the same sorts of things that we need to be addressing to close the gaps around Māori health outcomes and Māori education outcomes. So the majority of it comes back to those same old issues of trying to lift the overall well-being of Māori.
38% of Māori are targeted by criminals every year, compared to the national average of 30%. And Mr. Hampton says this isn't improving.
One of the unfortunate things that we find from this result is that nothing's really changed over the last 15 years. Māori have consistently been overrepresented as victims of crime, pretty much by about the same amount as what this survey shows.
While the findings didn't come as a shock to Just Speak director Tanya Mead, she says it's never been more clear what the government needs to do.
The best way for us to reduce people's experiences of harm and support healthy communities is to dismantle institutional racism and social and economic inequality. And this is just further evidence on the existing enormous piles of evidence that urgent changes needed for the government to tackle those drivers of social harm and inequality.
Most of the violence is inflicted on a small number of people. Tracy McIntosh says healing those communities where harm is most concentrated won't be easy.
It can be very messy work to do. So if there are jobs that are scarce, if there's access to education that's scarce, if there's all of those elements, but there's an abundance of other things of what we call social hazards in terms of alcohol and drugs, how do you change that balance around?
National Party Justice spokesperson Simon Bridges says it's clear not enough is being done.
The rhetoric is at one level, but actually the actions and the outcomes just aren't there. And I think New Zealanders will be concerned by that.
In a statement, Justice Minister Chris Farfoy says work is underway to fix the problems by reducing child poverty and sexual violence. A $30 million pilot program to help families suffering from violence has also started. I parimasa, mō te hōtaka o te ata. Ko Mirjana Johnson tēnei.
And that's Te Wānui for this week. Kei tō mātou whārangi, epurangi tō mātou pūrongo, hei kimi mau, kei raro I te tāpanga, te ao Māori. You can find all our stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under Te ao Māori. Noho ora mai, have a great rest of your week. Tēnā koutou katoa.